You're listening to Trade Entrepreneur, the show for business owners by business owners. I'm your host, David Sudworth, and welcome to this week's episode. This is a podcast which I've been wanting to do for the last 24 months. And this is obviously before I even had the idea of starting a podcast. So this is something which I've been wanting to explore and just say, yeah, let's look back at this. And it's all to do with the coronavirus pandemic. This week in England, where I am, we have lifted all remaining restrictions regarding coronavirus. So there's no need to wear masks anymore. There's no need to self-isolate if you get coronavirus. So basically all the restrictions that have been imposed since March 2020 are now no longer in force, which is quite a relief for me personally, because I just found the last 2 years very hard going. I mean, obviously, the pandemic has affected a lot of people in different ways. And as a family, we've been lucky that we've not really had any major issues regarding COVID, but obviously a lot of people have, and people's lives have been touched in a number of different ways, and that's not one to take anything away from those at all. But it's been quite a life-changing event in the last 2 years, and I think if there's anything that you'd want to happen as a result of such an event, is to learn things from it and also look at ways that things could have been done better and how you will approach things in the future. So today we're going to talk about the lessons that I've learned from the coronavirus pandemic. Just going back to the start of all this in January 2020, when the first reports were coming through of some kind of virus that was coming from Wuhan in China. I remember watching the news and my wife said to me, "Oh, this looks bad, doesn't it?" And typical David, I said, "Oh, it'll probably be nothing. We'll forgotten all about it by Christmas." And yeah, famous last words there. So not for the first time, David was completely and utterly wrong. But, you know, at the time, the word unprecedented was being used quite a lot. And clearly, this is not something that any of us have experienced in our lifetimes. So if you can find it in your heart to forgive me for just being a bit flippant about it. But in the context of back then, obviously, it's not something which anyone could foresee. And these reports started getting more and more. I went abroad in the February of 2020. A group of sweeps and I, we went over to Sweden, and you know, even undertaking international travel at that time, when there was more and more stuff in the media, it wasn't really something that was being talked about particularly. And you know, I even remember on the trip, someone was ill, and you know, they felt like they had flu type symptoms, and no one said, or was it COVID or anything like that? Because it was all on the news, but it's not something that was part of everyday life. But over the weeks and months that followed that, more and more reports started coming through. And of course, all the chatter on social media started, and rumours about, oh, we're going to be under house arrest, and they're going to bring the army in and all that. And of course, that whips everyone up into a frenzy. And there's one thing that social media is good for, it's whipping people up into frenzies. And I distinctly remember going to customers, and it was same old. There was nothing particularly of note to discuss with them regarding COVID. It was just something, again, which was on the news and everyone was aware of, but it wasn't really a topic of conversation. And then in the probably early March, I did a Facebook advert, and it was quite telling, because on the advert, which obviously goes to loads of different people, and because people had been whipped up into a frenzy, there was more and more stuff appearing on social media feeds about this, and a comment appeared on the advert that I posted, and it just said, stay home. Now, I don't know who this person was at all. I certainly wasn't a customer. And I just, at that point, I kind of sensed the mood music changing in the country. And clearly, the government had started to sense this as well in England. So they obviously took the decision to take us into lockdown. About 24 hours before that, I was umming and ahhing about whether to go and do the jobs I had planned for the following day. What I did notice a few times on social media, again, the feeding frenzy, there were some people who were taking photos of trades vans, posting them onto local social media groups and saying, look at this idiot, that they should be staying at home and all this. And I just thought, God, this is getting bad, this, because people are now, you know, basically passing moral judgment on people online, even though at that point there was no restrictions whatsoever. So certainly not in terms of going about your everyday business. So I thought this is turning quite bad, this quite quickly. And then obviously the Prime Minister came on the TV that night and he issued the stay at home order. So I immediately cancelled the jobs for the following day, because at that time it was a very fast moving situation. There was no detail which had been announced, and I just thought the best thing to do is just park those appointments for the time being and let's see what happens. And that was the start of, in essence, a 2 month hiatus. The phone stopped ringing, so business stopped completely for that period of time. And we had some jobs booked in for May, and I decided that by that point, I had decided that regardless of what the Prime Minister was going to say that evening, funnily enough, we were going to go and do those jobs, because I'll get into this later on in the podcast. There was actually no stay-at-home order for tradespeople. This was a massive bone of contention among trades, and again, it's something I'll discuss later on. But we were legally entitled to go and do those jobs, and because the kind of mood music had started to change yet again, back towards a bit more freedom, I decided that we were going to go and do those jobs anyway. Luckily, the Prime Minister made it quite clear that the stay-at-home order was being lifted, so therefore that certainly helped in terms of being able to open back up again. But so it's been, you know, for most people, it's been a very trying and difficult 2 years, and I just wanted to go through the things that I've learned from COVID, because certainly from a life perspective, certainly from a business perspective, there's lessons to take away from this, and I think going through them and having a chat about them is it might be quite helpful, and you might want to reflect on the things that you've learned over the last couple of years through the various experiences that you've had. So I've jotted down 5, which I'm going to talk about today, and they're in no particular order, because I don't think there's anything, none of them takes greater precedence over the other, but I think they're all quite key. But like I say, if there's ever anything that you want to add to this, please get in touch. Details will be mentioned later on in the show. So the first thing that I learned from COVID right back from the beginning is that clarity of message is key. So this is a more of a marketing thing, but it can also be in terms of communication and leadership. Being clear on and instructing people clearly is very important. Now that might sound obvious. The difficulty with the clarity of message, and this is something that I was talking about a few minutes ago, it can mean that you oversimplify stuff, which means that there's a massive misunderstanding. I'll explain what I mean by that. So in the beginning in England, there was a stay-at-home order. And people took that as I should stay at home. The small print of all the stuff which the government put out actually didn't say that you had to stay at home if you couldn't work from home. So tradespeople, for instance, most of us cannot work from home. You know, we can't sweep chimneys from our home. So we have to go out and do it. And there was actually nothing in any of the legislation which said that we had to stay at home. But I spent hours and hours and hours discussing this with fellow tradespeople, and some of them just wouldn't have it. You've been told to stay at home, you should stay at home. Yes, but actually it's not about, that's about the social element. It's not about work and employment. No, it says stay at home. So the message was very blunt from the government, and I kind of understand why, but a lot of people, that they just didn't get the nuance, and that caused a major amount of problems. I think they learned from that, and particularly in the announcement which was made in May 2020 regarding the easing of restrictions, it was mentioned about working from home, and you know, you can go to work if you cannot work from home. It would have been great if they said that at the beginning, because it would have saved all this aggro, but nevertheless, it happened. So it's important to get, you know, the stay-at-home order was very effective, and it was a clear and concise message. The problem was it was massively oversimplified, and it did cause a lot of people to lose a lot of money, their own livelihoods, some of which are they're still suffering the effects 2 years later. So first one, like I say, clarity in messaging is key, but don't skimp on explaining the detail, because if you don't explain the detail, you can come a cropper and people can start to misunderstand or misrepresent what you're saying, and that creates a whole new round of problems. The second thing, which I think became evident straight away, is that you really do need to have a rainy day fund. It's essential for running a business. As a company, we have reserves for, usually they are for capital expenditure, so things like new kit and so on. But we also have a revenue reserve, which will mean that we use it to cover any potential revenue costs if cash flow becomes an issue. Clearly, at the start of the pandemic, cash flow just dried up completely for a lot of businesses. So, I mean, the government did step in with the furlough scheme. For the self-employed, there was some kind of payment. But then again, that was a very blunt instrument, because it did rely on having a few years of books to show. And for some people who'd only just gone self-employed, they really did get hit hard through that. So having rainy day funds is really important, and I think going forward, anyone who doesn't build that in to their budgeting is taking a big risk. I mean, granted, no one could have foreseen a pandemic coming, but nevertheless, that there are times during the year when you might have cash flow issues in the business. Take, for instance, my trade, it is very seasonal. There's always going to be more work in the winter than in the summer. If you let it naturally ebb and flow, but you've got to still pay the wages all year round. So there's varying ways you can do that. But one of the most important things is to ensure that you have money in the bank to pay the bills, because sometimes the revenue that you bring in that particular month might not be enough to cover those bills. It might be great in the good times, but in not so good times, you can then come a cropper very quickly if you don't have that cash available. So take my advice, open up a bank account, don't touch it, and just pour money into it. And at least then you'll, if anything does happen, whether it's another pandemic or there's a particular issue within your business, at least you'll have the funds there to be able to manage it successfully. The third thing that I particularly learned from COVID is that employee demands have changed. no one before, or very few people before March 2020 had ever heard of Zoom. And now it's probably one of the best known companies in the world. I wish I'd have bought shares in it before the pandemic, but I never even heard of it because, like most people, it just wasn't a thing. I know when I worked in offices, etc., the idea of being able to work from home was just, it just wasn't a thing. I mean, you might get in some quote-unquote progressive workplaces, but quite frankly, the vast majority of workplaces relied on the age-old policy of presenteeism. In other words, if your bum sat on a chair behind a computer, then you're doing something. Or, you know, if you're in a shop or wherever it happens to be, you're there. Whereas now, for a lot of people and a lot of our customers, they are still working from home. That genie is now out of the bottle, and it's probably not going back in it. I mean, I actually met a customer earlier today who is going back into the office, but it's only a couple of days a week, whereas previously they were in the office 5 days a week. So a lot of workplaces have now started to cotton on to the fact that employees, they want more flexibility. They want to be able to be at home to work. They may not even want to work 5 days a week. There's nothing like a pandemic to put some clear blue water between work and life. And that certainly happened. And a lot of people put more emphasis on their own leisure time and their own mental health and well-being. And that's important, of course. And it's important that businesses understand that, because it's just not the idea of everything going back the way it was. Although obviously the restrictions have gone, but the employment world and the workplace, that's a different place now. It's up to employers to understand that. So as a company, obviously we could always work, but even so, throughout the pandemic, we did certain things which meant that employees had greater flexibility, because it's important to recognise. And I think workplaces that don't recognise that, they're the ones who are going to get left behind, and therefore probably not going to get the best staff, or certainly not the staff they could have got if they'd be a bit more flexible. The fourth thing, which obviously is something which has been learnt from the pandemic, is that you can't change some things. Change is inevitable, but how you deal with it is important. So everyone was pretty much dealt the same hand on, you know, whatever day it was in March 2020. Everyone was told to stay at home, apart from those caveats which weren't mentioned at the time. So the world had changed, and that's one of the big things which you may recall a previous podcast where we were chatting about mental health, and one of the big concerns I have about the after effects of the pandemic is how it's the knock-on effect on mental health is there for years to come. It's like a time bomb which hasn't actually gone off yet, and I do fear that that's going to be something that we're going to be picking up the pieces on for many years to come. So the important part of this is that you've got to be able to deal with it in a positive way. I know for myself, I felt a massive sense of helplessness when the pandemic hit, because I'm someone who, like a lot of self-employed people, they like to be in control. They enjoy the feeling of being in control. It's very rare that you're not in control, because you work for yourself, therefore you call the shots. So when you've got something which you can't do anything about, I did my fair share of stamping feet. I don't mind admitting that. But it's about understanding how to work with it, and also perhaps understanding how you would deal with it in your personal life as well as your professional life. When it comes to other issues out of the pandemic, again, like I said in the previous one, about how employees are now wanting different things from employers, and, you know, making sure that your rainy day fund is there. That's all there because of change, but we've responded to it in a positive way. And if you accept the fact that, okay, this is a situation, what can we do about it? Then you can only ever have a positive experience going forward, because you've learned something from it. The final thing that I've learned about the pandemic, and this is probably the most profound one, and I know I did say that it wasn't in any particular order, But it just showed to me how very different people are. I kind of have a difficulty when people say that the pandemic was a great leveler, because there were certain people who, when the pandemic hit, they were kind of like, oh, I'm not bothered about it, it's fine. And there were those who were basically just so scared for a variety of reasons. It might be because they were clinically vulnerable, or because they're living with people who are clinically vulnerable, or they might just be naturally of a nervous disposition. And I think that was very starkly pointed out to me during the pandemic. It's funny because yesterday I went to the supermarket, and obviously now in England there's no requirement to wear masks. And it was quite surprising the amount of people who were still wearing masks. Now, again, that can be for a load of different reasons. But I would say it's probably about 60-40, 60% not wearing masks, 40% wearing masks, which I thought was quite high considering it was no longer a legal requirement. But I think it does show that even though this thing now is starting to become more of a rear view mirror view, there's still a lot of people who are very worried about it, and justifiably so. You know, at the end of the day, COVID is a dangerous disease, and there's no getting away from it. And depending on your own health and circumstances, that will determine how you approach it. But before the pandemic, I kind of thought that people were pretty much similar. You know, there wasn't a varying amount of difference among people. But I think for me, it's highlighted just how many anxious people there are, how many worried people there are, how many people who just couldn't care less, and all those different ranges in between. I'm not saying any one of them is right or wrong. This is just an observation that I've made for the last couple of years. And I think for a business, we now probably have a better understanding of what makes customers tick as a result. Because, you know, in our job, if you point something out to a customer which might be, you might consider a fault or dangerous, you'll get various reactions from, oh, I'll be fine, don't worry about it, to, oh no, what do you think I should do? Should I use it? Should I get it repaired? And so it was always there. But I guess that as a person, I've become much more aware of it because of the experiences of the past 2 years. So, and again, when it comes to employing people, people are very different, and you've got to treat each person with respect and treat them as an individual, because the kind of one size fits all approach doesn't work really. It can work in terms of general policies and procedures, but in terms of dealing with people and understanding what makes them tick and getting the best out of them, that is very much a one-to-one thing. I appreciate it's hard to do. It's hard to do that in a pandemic when a government's trying to give orders for an entire country. But if you pull that down to your own business and your own workplace, then you'll see how important it is to, yes, have that framework in place, but also have that regard for people's own sensibilities and the way that they deal with things. So yeah, there's the five lessons I learned from COVID. Like I say, if you've got any of your own which you want to share, get in touch. My email address is david@trade-entrepreneur.co.uk. You can tweet me, it's @TEPshow, or we've got a Facebook page, Trade Entrepreneur. And don't forget, you can get this and past episodes of Trade Entrepreneur by visiting www.trade-entrepreneur.co.uk, or if you're on Google, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, you can subscribe to it and you can see all the previous episodes. So thank you very much once again for joining us. I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Have a great week, and we'll see you again very soon.